This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
5 seconds to Sharp. Top of the key. Lost the dribble. He's got to pick it up. It's scooped up by Condon. Condon secures it. And Florida found a way. From 12 down. To the school's third national championship in men's basketball.
Thank you to Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network for the call. That was Florida coach Todd Golden. And your Florida Gators, they win the championship. That's what Ian Eagle called it. And it was a comeback once again.
Is that a thing? I actually didn't know that. Oh,
it was silly, but a comeback. And that was dead serious. And somehow Florida found a way. Yet again, comebacks in this tournament against UConn, against Texas Tech, even one against Auburn, now against Houston. I know how they did it. I'm still just shocked that they actually are national champions with Houston up 12, the suffocating defense they've played all season, and that became the calling card for the Houston Cougars. I actually feel worse for Houston today than I feel good for Florida. Florida gets to celebrate this. Congratulations. Victor goes the spoils. But I feel worse for Houston because they were playing the type of game they probably wanted to play. They weren't hitting shots, that's for sure. But this grind, slog, slow game, this low-scoring game, Pearl, that was a Houston Cougars basketball game, and Florida beat them at their game.
Yeah, I mean, Florida really stepped up defensively. Let's give them credit for that. I had all these texts prepared to my Houston Cougar fan friends. Of course, Case Keenum, NFL quarterback, who actually I wasn't harassing yesterday because he started camp in Chicago. They had their first practice. But he lives and dies with his team, and I'm sure he and every other Cougar fan thought we had this one. It felt like this was our title. This was Kelvin Sampson's title. I couldn't wrap my head around Florida winning until the last minute of the game. Then when they finally got the lead at the end, I'm like, oh crap, my whole narrative is gone. I had the tweet of me wearing a Houston Cougars cheerleader outfit. I mean, I do. I sort of pretend to be a Houston Cougars fan sometimes. I'm nothing against Florida. I was happy for them, but it did feel like, did you feel like you were preparing in your mind for Kelvin Sampson to finally get over that hump? And now we have one of the youngest coaches since Jim Dovano and Todd Golden to win a title.
39 years old, where Kelvin Sampson was 69 years old. It was this gigantic age gap. I think it was the second biggest since Jim Calhoun faced off against Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
When it was UConn against Butler, and the old guy won that time. And this time, older guy won that time. This time it's Golden. And it was just unsatisfying. Let's call it that. Again, if you're a Florida fan, congratulations. Like, we're not taking anything away from you. But that final play, if we can just get to that for a second. Yeah. I mean, it was all bad for Houston in the last minute and a half. Okay, so minute 30, they're up 63-62. Uzan miss, Cryer miss, Tugler turnover, Cryer turnover, Sharp turnover, Sharp turnover. I mean, it was just a bloodbath at the end. And credit to Florida's defense, as you said rightly, Pearl. But it was so unsatisfying to not watch someone get a shot off, and that was Emmanuel Sharp, who was 1 for 7 from three. Nobody could hit from three in this game, including Houston, who shot 25% from three in this game after having been one of the best three-point percentage shooting teams in the country all year long. So this is uncharacteristic of them. But, you know, at least Cooper Flagg got the shot off. It was short, but at least we saw something. The ball decided, you know, or the shot decided. This was Sharp goes up, Florida defender on the closeout. At the last second, he bails, regathers the ball, but he can't touch it because it would be a travel. So he just sort of tries to box out his guy as the ball's just like there on the court as the seconds are ticking away. Florida ends up getting and corralling it, and that was all she wrote. It was just unsatisfying of an ending.
Well, yeah, I mean, one way to look at it, give Florida all the credit for their composure, which you documented well. I mean, they do not panic at all. They're the opposite. Where Houston, I don't want to use the word panic, sounds mean, but they definitely, toward the end of the game, got super tight.
Yes.
They were not ready for this kind of moment, which is such a shame because they're older. Who knows if they'll get this another chance? It does seem like they're going to be a good team as long as Kelvin Sampson stays there. I heard during the game they have a amazing class coming in next year. So there's talent coming through the program, but it felt like it was right there for them. You're right. I think, and we could get into this play, about, what, 2 seconds left, he should have just tried to grab the ball. Maybe the official would let him go. It was sitting there. What he tried to do had no chance.
I don't know if the officials would have let it go. It seemed like that one was going to be pretty obvious. But again, these officials are awful. I mean, terrible. It's college officials. I saw our friend Chris Mannix, who covers the NBA, says, you know, nothing will make you appreciate NBA refs more than watching a college game. And boy, was he right. And it's the same in college football, too. We complain about the refs all the time. Last night, I thought they completely deserved it. They called nothing in the first half, and the second half ended up being a foul fest, including 2 technical fouls on Florida. I mean, the fact that they won despite it felt like a lot of things kind of going against them. Assistant coach on the bench got called for a technical foul. That never happens in a Final Four championship game. And then, you know, one of their big men got a technical foul.
Which was obvious,
because he slammed the ball down on the ground after he got fouled.
So, you know, the thing about the Sharp play at the end, there's a lot of argument. He went up for a shot. Like, how high was the ball? I don't think it was so obvious. I think the officials would have been very confused on what to call on that play. I don't think it was so obvious that he couldn't have gathered the ball because he went up for the shot, but the ball was about his head level and dropped it. It's a very confusing play. You're saying it was so obvious that they would have called it? I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
I also don't understand. I guess, like, credit to the Florida defense, but could he have just shot the ball?
Well, so it was Walter Clayton who closed out on him, right? He did not get a good look. And they were not running a good offensive play. He probably could have shot. You're saying he could have shot instead of coming down again?
Well, I'm just wondering, too, if there's a... I'm surprised that he got that deep into his shooting motion and still decided to pull the ball back in. Is that, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's him on the floor. What do I know? I'm sitting on my couch 3,000 miles away. But here's it felt like it wasn't so smothered sure that he wouldn't have gotten the shot.
Sorry, I'm watching real time. Walter Clayton had a really good closeout. He got it right on top of him and jumped up in the air. I understand why he came down because the closeout was very effective. You're right. Ideally, he probably would have shot it, but it could have gotten tipped. You never know. So
anything could have happened.
Big credit to Florida on that play. They really were playing tough defense without fouling in that situation is hard.
Yep.
I probably would have fouled the heck out of him. I would have ran right into him. And by the way, one thing about Walter Clayton, a lot of little things to help win this game despite only scoring 11 points. I give him, especially this play, this might have been the play of the game to close out on him. I think we're going to remember that he had trouble scoring in this game, but the reality is he did some other things good. So a lot of credit to him, although you and I probably disagree on the NBA future of him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if we thought he had played his way into the lottery before tonight, should one game really have that much of a difference? He was 0 for 4 in the first half, all three-point attempts. Couldn't hit anything. Still had 5 assists. He ends the game 3 for 10, 1 for 7 from three. You mentioned the 11 points. He did have 7 assists. You mentioned the closeout. In the chat, chat's already up and running, guys. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet says daily, a player can jump, then decide to start dribbling in the air and either keep dribbling or pick the ball up and shoot it. So what he did makes no sense. I think they usually call that a travel.
Well, it was really close. really close.
Saying there's no violation here.
Yeah, I saw that a lot on social media last night, too.
I've never seen that not call a travel.
That's what I was thinking.
You jump up in the air and then you start dribbling. That's never not call a travel.
Before he started his jump, he let the ball go. Possibly. I mean, it was real close.
Oh, so you have to see when he actually left his
feet. Yeah, I think you have to look at his feet and the ball releasing.
But if you leave your feet and then you try to bounce the ball in the air, you can't start dribbling it. That's a travel.
No. But if the ball's not in your hands at that point, it's kind of like you're grabbing your own.
Which is dumb. Yeah, we can look at his highlights.
Yeah, it's like a travel. It's a travel. Film. Up and down, as you say in the streets.
In the streets, up and down. I guess the thing is do you grab that anyway? And make them go to the monitor. Make them look at it. Maybe
you had, or at least let the other team get the ball and foul them, so the game goes on. Instead, the game just ended right there.
It was over. They ran out of time.
So he should have. Looking back at it now, he should have grabbed it. An even better scenario would have been Florida gets the ball back with 2 seconds left, goes to the line. Maybe they miss both shots. You get a heave.
Yep.
Just letting the ball roll on the ground into nothing had no chance.
It was just very. Like unsatisfying to not watch somebody get the shot off. It's like, you know, you live with either the make or the miss, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the moment when you need your best play. And they just, whether it's because you want to give credit to Florida's defense, which totally deserves it, or just how does your whole season come down to at least getting a shot attempt and you have it in the one guy who actually hit a three in this game, you know, who could hit a shot. Hit a couple big shots. Emmanuel Sharpe was part of the reason why they stayed, you know, he kind of was trying to hold off Florida. At one point had a three and then also had a two-pointer for a five-point swing. But your whole season comes down, you need a shot attempt and you can't get one off. Is just, that will just haunt you forever.
And basically the last 2 minutes of the game, you really didn't get much offense going. And Florida didn't either, but that to me was, talking about a defensive battle. Oh my God, I could... putting myself in the shoes of the players there. Yeah. There were no looks.
No.
Poor Walter Clayton Jr., they did everything perfectly defensively. And, you know, that's why I think you saw some easy dunks because both teams were so good perimeter-wise.
It's weird to say I'm not sure the right team won because it was such a weird game.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, did Houston offensively deserve to win that game?
No. Definitely not. And again, I went through the last 130 where it was just miss and turnovers and turnovers and turnovers. I mean, credit to Florida's defense. They clamped down in the final, you know, 2.5 minutes, if you will. And Houston just could not break free. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Today's about you. After these big, huge moments happen, everyone's watching. What did you think of last night? Is Florida a worthy champion to you, or did this feel just like it will be remembered as Houston blowing it, Houston's loss? In fairness, Duke might be off the hook here because I think now it's going to be remembered as the Houston blowing it as opposed to Duke blowing
it.
So,
true. Oh
congrats,
my gosh.
Blue Devils, Cooper Flagg, enjoy the NBA. Now it's going to be more, I think, about Houston and Kelvin Sampson being 0-for-3 in Final Fours, not being able, when he gets to the Final Four, to actually win the title game.
Yeah, I'm borrowing this line, but Houston won one they shouldn't have and lost one they should have.
Yep.
So they should have lost to Duke, no doubt, and they should have won this game.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And did you have a problem with the last play?
Yeah, and was it a travel? We have some officials who call in from time to time. I think, are we all in agreement that it looked like a travel?
It's a travel. I don't know how to be as clear. Like, I don't like to bring my basketball playing days up, but anytime you do that, it's a travel. You cannot leave your feet and not either pass the ball or shoot. You can't dribble.
No, I think everyone thinks it would have been a travel. The question is, should he have grabbed it anyway and
put it
in the hands of the officials?
I mean, that's an interesting theory. And to be honest, even beyond just giving it into the officials' hands, at least save time on the clock, right? They just won a game where they were turning teams over inbound the ball. Florida earlier had trouble inbounding the ball. They almost turned it over on one of those plays earlier. So if you just grab the ball and you say, okay, now we got 3 seconds left, you might be able to turn them over and get a steal or get a 5-second violation. You may give yourself another chance. You don't give yourself a chance by not doing anything.
Yep. Well, in the moment, though, it's crazy because you're taught your whole life of what this is and you're trying to do the right thing. But You know, Manuel Sharp didn't. There was no one else around. No other teammates were there to grab the ball. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. How'd you feel watching that game? If we have Gator fans, come on in. National champions for the third time in this century.
Championship.
Doing it at a football school. I didn't realize this until yesterday. Apparently, Florida has very little NIL. I kind of just assume that they're flush.
Florida? Oh, really?
Not a lot of NIL, apparently. Elijah Martin took less.
I mean, they got guys from Florida Atlantic and Iona.
Yeah,
they
didn't
get guys from, you know, Duke.
Yeah, I was cracking me up that two big players have been, first of all, Elijah Martin, 2020 started. So he played in 2019, I think. And LJ Cryer, both a lot of Final Four history of these guys on
these
different
guys
teams.
Super famous.
That's why I think it's interesting that this is modern college basketball. It's just transfer portal defense. Just Florida will bring in a bunch of defensive guys. I have a question too, and we can get it later in the show. Todd Golden's known for his analytics, the Florida coach.
Yep.
What were the analytics last night? They couldn't score. Like, what? How did the analytics help there?
I don't know.
Is it a defensive analytics? I don't understand what the analytics are exactly.
You know, it's funny because all I've been hearing, you told me there's this big Wall Street Journal article about Todd Golden. So we've got, like, you know, the fanciest newspaper possible writing about analytics.
He's got like a genius label.
He's got a genius label. They're already talking about the NBA. I don't understand what he's doing all that different, except for, I guess, what he's leaving guys in, even though they get two quick fouls.
That's the signature move, that he doesn't believe in foul trouble. But, you know, the funny thing is he looks like an old school coach, where I give him credit for keeping Florida in the game. You know, they could have easily wilted. He just rallies them together and they play very much as a team. It looks like they're doing all the non-analytic things really well, where the analytic things, they couldn't get any open looks. Yeah. So I was wondering, I don't know how analytics will get you an open look, but he felt like they after the game, they all got together. I noticed, I'm like, oh, these guys are all bought into each other. That is, to me, that's the most important thing. Same with Houston. They're bought into Kelvin Sampson. So I think he's a good coach in assets. I didn't get the analytics exactly.
It didn't seem like they were blowing our doors off with some kind of like math equation, but maybe Perloff, instead of the analytics, the manalytics. That's just the Jimmys and the Joes, man. That's just the intangibles.
Well, they don't really have the I mean, what do you mean?
Instead of it being about the analytics, it's about the guys.
Yeah, I mean, neither team had a five-star recruit on the court.
That's true.
And there are barely any NBA players on the court. So I don't think it was the Jimmys and the Joes. I think it was system and the way style defined this fight. That's how Houston got that lead. They uglied it up, but man, Florida just had so much resilience.
888-710-4ISN. Are you going to remember this more as a gritty Florida comeback, yet another one, and win? Or are you going to remember it as the championship that Houston choked away?
Is it in the middle of the January against Sasquatch State?
Oh, God, that was so funny.
Line.
And Rafferty's reaction to that is like, yeah, I was 5-0 against Sasquatch State.
Sasquatch State.
Amazing. This ain't Sasquatch State. That's a great drop. Listen, this ain't Sasquatch State we're going up against.
Saying I was 5-0 against Sasquatch State is, I mean, Rafferty, is going to be 82 next week.
Great.
Sharp as ever. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Will you remember this as the championship that Florida stole, came from behind, gritty, all those things? Or are you going to remember it as Houston blowing it? Let us know what you think. Good morning to the chat. Good morning to our affiliates. Let's go. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Championship.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show.
We're into the rule book now.
We aren't the champions. Florida Gators are. So read the rule that you just read. You said it was obvious, although the language found even more confusing to start.
I don't think it's that confusing. So we're talking about the last play of the game. Yes. Emmanuel Sharp doesn't get the shot off, but can't touch the ball because he would have been called for traveling.
Right.
Because he goes up, leaves his feet.
Well, that was not obvious in real time, but yes.
Okay, but leaves his feet. I don't know. I mean, he left his feet.
But he let the ball up as he just started to leave his feet, that he let the ball go really early. He didn't get the ball over his head or anything.
No. He never got a shot off.
Right.
No,
he didn't
no.
even get into his shooting form. He started up that he's let go, like kind of just after he started up his jump. So some people thought he let go of the ball while his feet was still touching the ground, which would have been fine.
Which would have been fine, but that's not what happened. So he leaves his feet. Mm-hmm. That means the pivot foot is gone. I'm literally
read the rule.
I'm in the rule book right now.
Yeah.
Section 5 on traveling. Article 7, I think, is the most relevant one. It is traveling when a player falls to the playing court while holding the ball without maintaining a pivot foot.
So here's the word that this is why. What do you mean falls?
Well, comes back down.
Comes back down is called landing. That's okay. Not falling.
Well,
falling is a completely different word. Nobody did you see Vince Carter jump up so high and fall on the ground? You land on the ground. So that's not obvious to me at all. I don't even know what they're talking about.
Well, I don't know why they would.
That's a different rule, I think.
Well, what else would you like here? How about I can give you this. Traveling occurs when a player holding the ball moves a foot or both feet in any direction in excess of prescribed limits described in the section. I mean, I can go through everything, but I'm going to bore the audience to tears.
Let's do it.
I mean, I think it's simple. Once you leave your pivot foot, you have to do something. You can't just drop the ball and dribble again.
Had he caught the ball with both feet in the air, then yeah, he could have put the ball back down. But he caught the ball with both feet on the floor. Left his feet and then put the ball back down. The fact that this is a discussion is making my brain rot.
But if he had dropped the ball before he started his jump, then the ball's live to everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a dribble, so that's different. But
exactly.
he left his feet. I mean, that video, he left his feet. So once you leave your feet, your pivot foot is gone. So
there's
it's just
a
like
chance the officials might not have noticed that in real time.
I mean, listen, maybe go to the
monitor. Unlikely, but it's worth the risk. It's better than just letting the clock run out.
I don't think college refs are that bad.
Whoa!
I think you guys are underselling how obvious this normally is called a travel. That's why he didn't pick it up.
He didn't pick it up.
He knows this is a travel. So it's like, yes, could the referees have botched it? Sure, they could botch anything. College referees are terrible. But that is a travel. This idea that somehow he didn't know the rules, but like everyone else does, is like, he knows it's a travel.
He gave himself up.
Also, Kevin Sampson's not saying he should have picked up. No one's arguing for Houston's side that, hey, we botched this play.
We're just wondering, could we have had a different, maybe different outcome? Probably not.
Well, the reality is he should have grabbed the ball and gotten the whistle.
I totally agree
with that. Yeah, I mean, everyone agrees. Like, he had to stop the clock. I don't think he realized how much little time there was.
Well, I mean, it took him forever to get the shot off. I mean, that was part of it.
He started his motion right around 5 seconds, high four. Like, he had to stop the clock right there and get Florida to the foul line or something. Actually, it would have been hard. I mean, the game was, that's not how the game was lost. The game was lost in the last four possessions of the Houston Cougars.
Yeah, but there was a chance for a moment. I mean, the problem is that neither team was shooting particularly well.
Yeah, that was not a good look.
But you know what? They've been a great three-point shooting team all year, so it also wouldn't have surprised me if they had pulled something out of their butts at the end to, you know, for a game winner.
A 40-foot shot with a guy on top of you who probably would have blocked the shot if you got it off, that was definitely not a great look. I mean, again, they got so cold, and this is not a great offensive Houston Cougars team. They win with defense and rebounding.
Yeah, but they were a good three-point shooting team this year, so I don't want that to just
go. Does this remind you a lot of the Houston-Tennessee game? It was they just put the throttle on. Then Tennessee got their looks in the second half. Eventually, if you just hang out against Houston, Houston's offense will let you back in. That's how it felt to me in this tournament. And they had it won. They're going to be so pained about this loss for a long time.
I think it's became a very memorable Final Four. We talked about the chalk. We talked about four number one seeds and no Cinderellas and all this.
Yeah.
The Final Four delivered. And I know this game wasn't like aesthetically pleasing, but, you know, two minutes 30 left to go in a tie game. What more can you ask for?
Yeah, it's one of the closest Final Fours we've ever had.
Let's go to the phones. Kevin is our pal in San Antonio. Kevin, the city had to be a buzz yesterday. What'd you think of the game?
Yeah, good morning. I woke up and listened to it. I just woke up. I stayed up to watch the game. It's just like the small things count. And, you know, that's in life, you know. And I'm like Perloff. I was about to get my Houston groove on and everybody else. The city of San Antonio was fired up. This was the best Final Four ever. Mm-hmm. It's more up. I mean, it's like this. He had the ball. He had the ball, but I think he let it go because he would have traveled.
Yep.
You know. And the thing about it, Florida. I don't hate Florida. I don't hate all of the Final Four teams. But it something had to happen. You know, it could be it happened to Duke when Houston beat Duke. I said, oh, my goodness. I saw that, too. I said, oh, man. And then at the last game,
yep,
during the championship game, it was exciting.
It was, Kevin, and I'm sure, you know, San Antonio, this one's going to be remembered for a long, long time. I'm just curious how people are going to remember. Are you going to remember it as, wow, Florida, what an amazing run to the title. They win the SEC tournament, then they win the NCAA tournament, basically all on comebacks and taking out some really heavy hitters in this tournament. You know, taking out UConn, the back-to-back national champion, even though they were on a down year. Texas Tech was a much better team, yeah, I think, than any of us had realized.
Both those games, they could have lost, should have lost, possibly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Auburn was the number one overall seed in this tournament. And then, obviously, to take out Houston, who's been now, like, a staple in the Final Four with a coach that's going to the Hall of Fame in Kelvin Sampson, whether he had won this game or lost this game. So,
but you do raise an interesting point. I think it's, will this be a memorable championship? Like, how are we going to look at this one 15 years from now?
I think...
are you going to say?
A couple things.
Yeah.
I think it depends really where Todd Golden goes from here.
Okay.
You know, in some ways, because he's 39 years old. He looks like he's 23. He kind of acts like one of the players. You know, he kind of acts like a grad assistant. That's what I've said this whole tournament. You know, this is not Jay Wright, you know, who's emotionless as, you know, Chris Jenkins
wearing
hits
a suit.
Hits that half court heave. But if Todd Golden, like, becomes, I think either if they, you know, continue the success, maybe he develops a rivalry with John Shire, these two young guys, but obviously they're playing different conferences. If he goes to the NBA, like, maybe is Todd Golden the next Brad Stevens? I don't know. That might go far, because those Florida back-to-back teams, I think, became more memorable. They were not full of five stars, but the fact that Joakim Noah and Al Horford and these guys continued on to the NBA and continued to have success.
I assume those two guys were five stars. Yeah, no, they were kind of full of five stars, weren't they?
No, do you know that Walter Clayton Jr. is the first ever first-team All-American the Florida basketball's ever had.
Right, but this is a notably under-recruited team. Like, none of these guys were big recruits, which is, I find, interesting.
Yeah, well, Walter Clayton was a zero star.
Yeah, I just think he was a football player, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's why he was a zero star, because I think everyone thought he was going to play football. But the thing about this team is, why would they be back in today's college basketball game? Like, they're not going to be back.
UConn just went back to back with a team that wasn't full of, that had some NBA players, but not chock full.
I would be. Yeah, true, but I think Florida, the odds are now we're going to see a lot of parity in the NIL era, maybe even the House versus NCAA era, depending on what happens to the courts. Yeah, I mean, these guys are all 23. They're all gone. Like, why would you think this team would be back? They're going to a brutal SEC next year. It just feels like, to me, you're going to look at this as the NIL transfer portal era of college basketball, where we have a lot of parity and games are going to be brutally close at the end, and Florida just gutted this one out. I don't see it as the beginning of a massive run, but maybe I'm wrong.
Let's get to Bogish, who's got headlines. Again, today's about you reacting to this game, 888-710-4ISN. I imagine this game's going to do a pretty gigantic rating.
Oh, God, no.
It's close, though. So, like, the peak rating where, you know, starts to...
You think this is going to do a gigantic rating?
I mean,
not like a Duke rating.
Well, maybe nothing does a Duke rating, but I think that, you know, whether it's a text thread or whether it's social media, I think you become aware that this is a close game in the stretch. And I bet their peak is pretty high.
I'll bet you it's bottom five of all time. I mean, I'm being dead serious. And that's not bad, because every year it goes down, 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 down. So it'll probably be maybe because of the close game better, but you definitely don't have the blue bloods here. This is Houston and Florida. It's not even UConn. So I'd be shocked if it had a huge rating.
Let's get to books.
Yeah.
Guys, your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
He just caught a body!
Florida was down 10 in the second half to Texas Tech in the Elite Eight, 9 to Auburn in the Final Four, and then 42-30 in last night's national title game in San Antonio. And obviously, the Gators won them all, and now they're national champs for the third time in school history. Baby-faced head coach Todd Golden.
We did what we did all year. We stayed the course. We have the best backcourt in America. I think we have the best frontcourt in America. And like we've done all year, we made plays when we needed the most. We guarded our butts off down the stretch. Made every 50-50 winning play.
That was Golden postgame on CBS. The 12-point turnaround ties for the third largest comeback in men's title game history. It included all 11 points that Walter Clayton Jr. scored last night, scoreless in the first 20 minutes. He is your Final Four most outstanding player. Emmanuel Sharp is unfortunately the opposite of that. He made the Cougars' last mistake of the game, as you guys have been discussing so far this morning. Here's head coach Kelvin Sampson.
We didn't score it well enough to win. We scored it well enough to be in a position to win. But you know, it comes down to those at the end. You've got to get a shot.
Houston's last point came with 2:05 left. They committed 5 turnovers in the final 3:24 last night after 4 total in the first 36 minutes of the game. The NBA snuck some action in last night, and the Kings took advantage.
The game now perimeter almost straight away.
Who watched
launches
this?
He scores the triple. It's the 8th one in 11 attempts. He's got 41 points.
That's Gary Gerald on Kings Radio. Zach LaVine finished with 43, including 17 in the 4th. The Sacramento closed out a 127-117 win in Detroit. The Kings now a full game clear of the Mavs for 9th out west, while those Pistons fall a game and a half behind the Bucks for 5th in the East. The long-eliminated Sixers lost again last night, 117-105 in Miami. That's a 12-game skid
that now is, for Philly. Oh, my God. Again, flirting with a little danger yesterday, but came away with the big L. Sixers fans fired up, baby. Let's go.
Moving on.
You said 12 games? My goodness.
San Francisco Giants, 7-game win streak is no longer.
The 2-1 pitch. Dunn swings and lines it down the right field line, slicing down the line, and it lands fair into the corner. One run home. Here comes a second. Around to third. Friedel done into second with a 2-run slicing double toward the right field corner.
Blake Dunn's 2-run double, top 8. The only offense last night in San Francisco. The Reds winning 2-0. Hunter Green finished 1 out shy of a complete game shutout. The Padres are 9-2 after a 5-4 win over the A's in Sacramento, and the Orioles 5-1 winners in Arizona. Gunnar Henderson, 2 hits, 2 runs, 2 stolen bases. Jalen Milroe has reportedly had private workouts with the Browns and Saints recently. Penn State pass rusher Abdul Carter had breakfast Sunday with Giants head coach Brian Daboll. He's expected to visit team headquarters on Thursday. And the St. Louis Blues' 12-game winning streak ended last night, 3-1 in Winnipeg. The Jets, meanwhile, get their team record 53rd win of the season. Guys, back to you.
I like a breakfast meeting.
Yeah.
It's like all business.
But if you're Abdul Carter and you probably really want to eat a lot of breakfast, it's an interview. Are you holding back and like on the bay? What if it was like a buffet with free bagels? Are you just going to town?
No. Yeah, that's why I don't like it. If I was him, I'd be like, oh, man, I don't want to have to eat for my maybe future bosses.
No, are you kidding me? Run it up. Let the coaches see, oh, this kid can eat.
Abdul Carter could use a little more size.
He's going to attack these offensive linemen.
Would you not eat if it was dinner? Like,
I'm taking the invite. My point is that if I could have a meeting, a business meeting, I prefer there be no food. I just want to chat.
Protein pancakes.
Or make coffee
eggs,
or something.
It's supposed to be like kind of casual, but the breakfast meeting, like that's now we're down to brass tacks.
Well, I think if it's a dinner meeting, you could eat all day and you don't have to go to town, but it's a breakfast. You're hungry. You're a young man, a college person, and you have a buffet in front of you with all these potatoes. I would have, you know me.
What makes you think it's a buffet?
It's definitely a buffet.
Oh, okay.
You have 2 full plates.
You think they're taking him to Golden Corral for breakfast?
Well, the Sizzler season,
great.
The meeting apparently happened in Pence at State College, and there's no Golden Corral at State College, so it was definitely finest cuisine in State College.
Denny's?
Valley, yeah, probably. Okay. The best cuisine that you can find in Center County, Pennsylvania.
What kind of restaurant do you think he did? I mean, there's definitely some options at this. You don't think that...
Mickey D's?
You don't think Brian Daboll has scouted all the breakfast spots on the East Coast? You kidding me? That guy loves a buffet.
Pounding McGriddles.
He definitely lost some weight, vitamin O.
Yeah, that might be right. You know, new Brian Daboll might have gone to a more
skinny
fancy
Brian rest. Daboll. Just getting oatmeal and berries.
He said it was Pilates, Maggie.
Yeah, sure.
So he said,
I try to do Pilates, not doing anything like that. It's got that kind of weight loss with Pilates.
Pilates community is going to come at you, Mags.
Sir, you are fooling no one.
Oh.
But anyway, back to the breakfast. I love a breakfast meeting.
I think it's
great.
Breakfast,
I love breakfast. By the way, I've never had a breakfast meeting.
You're dressed for one. I was going to mention that.
Nice.
What's with this collar and sweater on today?
It's so funny. I was putting this outfit on today. I'm like, people are going to think I'm doing a job. I'm wearing jeans, an old sweater, and a checkered shirt that I found in the back of my closet.
I know,
this is what normal humans dress like.
Not you, though.
You usually wear a hoodie and a hat.
Yes.
Last week I wore.
You guys like traded bodies today. Yeah.
Last week I wore like the same outfit. Literally the same outfit.
Yeah, every once in a while you throw in something that is fancier than usual, and today it seems like you're going to a breakfast meeting.
Maybe a court date.
I've never had a breakfast meeting. Has anyone here other than Maggie had a breakfast meeting? Like, what does that even entail?
What about...
What are you, like a Fortune 500 CEO with these fancy breakfast meetings?
Yes, I am. You said I could never have a serious job because my name is Maggie. I can have a serious breakfast, though.
Did I say that?
You did say that. Yeah, I called you an anti-Namite. You were judging me on my name.
President Maggie? No.
Get used to it. If we can have President Stephen A. Smith, we can have President Maggie.
My favorite genre of this show is when we remind Perloff of a take he had, then we tell him, and he's like, no, I kind of agree with that.
he agrees with his own take from a week ago.
Or I just reverse course.
Or vehemently disagree.
As Adam Schefter keeps saying, well, things keep changing in this draft process. Every time he has a contradictory report, which we'll get to later in the show. I mean, that guy, he's like me, all over the place. I shouldn't really say that about myself.
No, I got to be honest. Schefter's all over the road with this draft stuff.
Yeah, with the 2 and 3 picks, the Browns and the Giants. He said many, many contradictory things, but he says them with utter confidence.
He's just hydroplaning right now. I mean, I don't know if this is to sell the draft or build the intrigue.
So you think
we don't need to build it. Shedeur Sanders is where he's going to go is already going to be intriguing enough.
Totally disagree. I don't think he knows. I think Jay Glazer knows. I don't think Schefter knows. You think that he knows what the Browns are doing? He came out in March and said they are definitely taking a quarterback at 2. He was dead wrong.
Well, we're not sure.
Well, he said I was wrong about that.
Listen,
so if he's wrong about one of the two.
You're trying to predict what the Browns are doing. Good luck to you.
That's my point.
Breakfast meetings couldn't figure that out.
That's my original point. Schefter doesn't know.
A lot of pancakes.
You think Schefter knows?
I just think this feels like the lead up to the draft. He's been particularly all over the place.
No, I don't think. You're talking about back to what you said. You think Schefter and the Browns are on the same page? No, I don't think he knows. I don't think he knows what the Giants are doing either. They're waiting for Joe Shane's kid to weigh in.
Well, unfortunately, they can't take Jane Daniels. But, you know, good job out of that kid. 888-710-4ISN. Bogish, thank you so much. We will see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about last night's controversial ending. I guess it's controversial. We all think it would have been a travel if Emmanuel Sharpe had gathered that non-shot, but apparently not everyone sees it the same way.
Really?
And is this going to be remembered more for a Florida comeback and grittiness or just a Houston blowing it at the end? So you can weigh in on that, and we'll get to the latest with the draft.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, congratulations to Florida. They're winners, but they're not the only ones. Also, huge congrats to our own Andrew Kaplan, who won Pearl Jam Season 4. It's like a storybook, Cinderella story. Kaplan has watched zero college hoops all season long by his own admission.
Yeah.
And won our show bracket, our pal Nick in Texas, who graciously does this for us every year, runs Pearl Jam. We're up to season 4, yep. And our very own Andrew Kaplan, the wizard behind the curtain, wins this year. Yeah. What a thrill.
Nick's going to call in later with all of our results and the listening winner.
Well, we don't really have to go through all of our results. They were not great.
Why didn't you do that bad?
Well, listen, it's about Kaplan today.
There was a point, my God, I tell you who got burned this weekend. Couple bounces went the other way. My wife was doing great.
Yeah, Sarah always comes through.
She had Auburn, right?
She had Auburn, yeah.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, if Auburn had won this thing, she would have been top 10.
To me, it's like as long as you get the national champion, regardless how bad your bracket is, you can say, all right, I did a good job.
That's because you got the national champion.
Yes, of course.
That is the most EJ statement of all time.
I'm not denying it.
A general statement that happens to help him out 100%.
Where's the lie, though?
I know. Well, it's Kaplan who stands head and shoulders above the rest of us so-called experts.
Me and EJ, same. I'm with EJ. I had a mixed bracket, but I got the title right. But I had Florida beating Duke. If Florida had beaten Duke... And by the way, I still don't understand how Duke lost. Can we talk about that?
Well, it's funny. Now I'm wondering, I was thinking about this during the game last night when no one could hit a shot. I'm like, Duke, if they're watching this, they've got to be sick.
Well, they probably get it, though, because that Houston defense was smothering.
No, but some of the shots that Florida was putting up in the first half, I get that Houston was altering them, but they were just terrible. Bricks.
They weren't good looks, though. They were really, really hard shots.
I mean, they couldn't hit the ocean. It was just heaves and hauls and just clangs and bangs, like not cool.
How about when Houston brought in that guy off the bench who could dunk from 20 feet away? Francis? Oh, my God. That he kind of kept them in it a little bit. I think both teams were trying to stop the three-pointer, so they had to adjust and score inside. And that's why Alex Condon, after that terrible first half, the Florida big man, was effective, at least scored a lot in the second half.
Yeah, that first half was grotesque, though. Bill is in Houston. Bill, sorry about your Cougs. How do you think you're going to remember this one?
Well, I thought Houston lost this game the same day they lost their composure. And then I think the player at the end of the game called the play on himself. He knew he left the floor. Both feet left the floor with the ball in his hand, so... I think he knew that, so he made the call on himself. The last thought is, like, I know they've been to three final fours. It's a juxtaposition, I guess you'd say, the full five slam of Jamma era. I think they went to three final fours, maybe two championship games and lost. But they had five NBA players, Olajuwon, Drexler, Michael Young, Benny Anders, Larry Mitchell, all played in the NBA, two Hall of Famers, and this team was filled with guys that some of them were graduate students, some of them are 24.
Yeah, Bill, you're kind of going in and out here. The connection's not so great, but yeah, very different than the Phi Sigma Jamma.
Yeah, I mean, the Phi Sigma Jamma had a singular star, all-time college player, and Akeem Olajuwon.
Who they put on the bench yesterday, by the way. Did you see that?
Yeah.
After they saw an overzealous kind of guy with a earpiece wouldn't let Hakeem onto the court when they won in the big comeback over Duke. They just put Hakeem on the bench.
I thought
safer.
I thought the Cougars had a big time celebrity advantage, and maybe I missed it. They had Jim Nance was on camera a lot. University of Houston alum. Everybody loves Jim Nance. Hakeem, everyone loves him. And Carl Lewis, everybody loves him. Who did the Gators have in the
crowd?
Hello,
friends.
Al Horford, looking great, by the way.
He doesn't age.
Yeah, and he's still, as the announcer said, he's got 5 more years of NBA action ahead of him. You know he's hitting a big shot in a few weeks, Maggie.
Sixers are still paying him.
Are they really?
I don't know. I don't think so. I just wanted to crack a Sixers joke.
I mean, we could all believe it.
Would it surprise you?
Yeah, I mean, man, just what a... You feel terrible for Kelvin Sampson, but... You know, because he's 69 years old, you know, his son is already, we know he's going to take over the program. Like, they have the succession plan in. But the thing is that everyone still believes he's a great coach. Is it different? It is different to say, you know, you keep getting to the Final Four and you haven't won. He's still going to be Hall of Famer. He still dragged Houston out of what was the depths of a program that looked like it was dying. I mean, the stadium was, the arena was empty. They're playing in the AAC. You know, when you have to play a conference game against Rhode Island, like, it makes no sense. And he got to a Final Four when they were in the AAC, let alone now in the Big 12. He deserves tons and tons of credit. I just wonder, is there anything he could have done differently in that final play? Like,
yes.
That's the thing. I think that's the one criticism maybe of Sampson is, like, you need your best play right there. And that was far from it.
But they're not going away. And I'll tell you why. And you and I have gotten a behind the scenes look at why they're not going away. There is big money behind this program. Of course, you and I were in Tillman Fertitta's apartment at a Houston Cougars fundraiser, and Mattress Mack, the famous Houston gambler, was there. There's a lot of money behind this program, and they have, I guess they have a huge recruiting class coming in, and I think they're in a good position in the Big 12. Let's face it. I mean, would you be surprised if they're one or two seed in next year's tournament and playing Kelvin Sampson basketball, have another chance? I understand this feels like this was his best chance. Totally get that. But they're not going to go away. And he has his son there, so he's not going to feel pressure to leave. Right. So I think he might get another chance. At least I hope he does.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like Houston is worthy of breaking through to finally win their first championship as a school.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't believe Hakeem. I actually... They were talking about that last night at the game, that team never won. Because I feel like that's one of the great college basketball teams of all time.
I know, but they're back-to-back losers.
Yeah.
In the championship game.
Great nickname. Was it Larry Michaud nicknamed Mr. Mean? They had the other team, they remind me of UNLV. Back then, you had these teams that were like super teams, big guys. Now there's no, it's a different era. There's no seven-foot superstars like that. Now you have these guys who are totally different, like Alex Condon last night. They're functional big men. It used to be it was Ewing and Hakeem and David Robinson. And
right.
I don't know what happened to that guy.
Well, listen, if this was 30 years ago, that Duke team would all be coming back. And that would be the story from the very beginning of the year is, all right, Cooper Flagg, they fell in the Final Four. How are they going to get back? I think that would probably be the biggest story. Maybe one of the biggest stories in sports, but definitely college hoops.
Is there anybody... who is worried that I'm going to be super cocky because my Cooper Flagg returns to Duke take actually turns out to be true? Anybody?
Nobody thinks
that. Yeah, I mean, it's been discussed a lot this week. The question has been raised many, many times. Shire had to answer like 4 times. I did see Cooper Flagg at the golf course last night or yesterday. There's a video of him. Dude can swing a golf club.
It's probably a good way to clear your head. Go out, play 18.
Nothing that man can do.
Yeah, he's 18 and he's already good at golf. I hate this guy.
Perloff can't just be happy for someone else.
Future Sixer, though, right?
Then I love this band.
For now. All right, we got a lot of football for you. Don't move.